This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, March 26th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Russia wants more ceasefire talks. Location, location, location. SCOTUS and RFS litigation. And the World Food Prize. McCary cleared by Senate for FDA. Martin McCary, a Johns Hopkins surgeon who is an ally of the Make America Healthy Again movement, has the Senate's okay to lead the Food and Drug Administration. Three Democrats joined Republicans in voting to confirm McCary last night. One of his top tasks will be tightening regulations for food ingredients. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has called for overhauling the process for determining whether ingredients are safe. U.S. touts Black Sea deal as Russia insists on lifted sanctions. The U.S. says Ukraine and Russia have both agreed to halt strikes against each other's commercial ships in the Black Sea, potentially boosting security in a busy grain corridor. But the Kremlin says sanctions on financial institutions and ag and fertilizer producers need lifting first. The U.S. held bilateral talks between both countries' governments and Saudi Arabia this week. In a statement yesterday, the White House said the U.S. had agreed to help Russia regain access to world agriculture and fertilizer markets, but the statement made no mention of lifting sanctions as a prerequisite to the deal or when the deal may start. But the short-term impacts of a Black Sea deal may be minimal, former USDA chief economist Joe Glauber says. Glauber tells AgriPulse that both Russian and Ukrainian ships have been able to move grain through the region despite an earlier deal expiring in 2023. Lower insurance premiums would benefit local producers, but the short-term impact on global markets would be negligible, he said. SCOTUS mulls proper venue for small refinery exemption cases. Attorneys for the federal government and biofuel groups sparred with lawyers for refiners at the Supreme Court yesterday over the proper venue for deciding appeals of small refinery exemption denials. At issue is where the appeal should be heard, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals or the Federal Appeals Court, where the refineries in question are located. Growth Energy and the Renewable Fuels Association joining the government in arguing for the D.C. Circuit since the renewable fuel standard has nationwide impacts. Even a single SRE education is nationally applicable, Seth Waxman, attorney for the two groups, told the justices. That's because each determination affects blending obligations and will affect the total amount of renewable fuel used in the U.S., he said. Michael Huston, representing refinery, said that, quote, analyzing the evidence of local economic conditions facing small refineries in San Antonio, Texas, and Shreveport, Louisiana, is a task that Congress assigned to the Fifth Circuit, not the D.C. Circuit. A prediction? Well, Corey Levinsky, biofuels consultant and attorney at S&P Global, said in a post on X that, quote, it's more likely than not that SCOTUS will decide that small refinery exemption appeals can only be decided by the D.C. Circuit, which would be a big win for RFA and Growth Energy. Also at SCOTUS, the Trump administration has filed papers seeking to stay an injunction requiring that the government reinstate fired probationary employees. In her brief, Acting Solicitor General Sarah Harris said the plaintiffs in the case don't have legal standing to bring their case. The district court judge who ordered the reinstatements found that outside groups affected by the firings possessed standing. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this. Daybreak is sponsored by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the third largest dairy co-op in the country. Edge is a powerful advocate in Washington for farmers throughout the upper Midwest. Dairy has reached a crossroads. The time for change is now. As more milk is moving outside the federal milk marketing order system, we need to ensure basic protections remain in place for the farmer, such as timely payments and third-party verification. Ed says it's time to provide these protections to all dairy farmers. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. WFP, call to action on global food security. Global food security leaders convened in Washington yesterday to discuss the need for agricultural innovations to avoid a hunger catastrophe. There's no hiding from the challenge before us, said Tom Vilsack, current World Food Prize CEO and former Ag Secretary, in his opening remarks. If institutions, agencies, government, NGOs, universities, or the private sector who have previously answered the call to meet this challenge are no longer able or willing to do so, the onus is on the rest of us to remain engaged, to get engaged for the first time, to do more than we have ever done before. At the World Food Prize Foundation event, more than 115 organizations endorsed a call from 153 Nobel and World Food Prize laureates for the development of moonshot efforts to address the hunger crisis. We're not on track to meet food needs or depend in a sustainable or even unsustainable way by 2050, said Carrie Fowler, a 2024 laureate who served as a special envoy for global food security at the State Department during the Biden administration. Dems highlight dangers to SNAP at meeting. House Democrats led a meeting yesterday to discuss the impact to SNAP participants and farmers if the program is substantially cut. In the House budget resolution Republicans passed last month, it instructs the Ag Committee to find $230 billion in cuts. Most, if not all, of those cuts would have to come from SNAP, although the Senate unlikely to go along with a cut anywhere close to that size. House Ag Chairman Glenn Thompson of Pennsylvania has said any policy changes would not result in benefit cuts. Stacy Dean, who oversaw the USDA nutrition programs during the Biden administration, told Democrats that SNAP benefit reductions are unavoidable with the level of funding cuts included in the House budget resolution. House Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Angie Craig and several other Democrats on the panel participated in yesterday's meeting. Other witnesses included individuals who relied on SNAP during tumultuous periods and argued in favor of not only preserving SNAP, but strengthening it. A spokesperson for the House Ag Republicans accused Democrats of fear-mongering. House Republicans are committed to making government more accountable to the people and to renewing the American dream, the spokesperson said in a statement. Lawmakers revive bipartisan effort to add nuts to senior nutrition program. Senators Tommy Tuberville of Alabama and Ben Ray Luan of New Mexico will reintroduce legislation today to make pecans and other tree nuts eligible for USDA Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. Representative Barry Moore of Alabama will also introduce a House version of the bill. The SFMNP provides low-income seniors with locally grown fruits and vegetables. Tuberville said adding nuts to the program would be a huge win. Here's today's final word. SNAP cuts of this magnitude would clearly have a dramatic impact on millions of struggling Americans who count on this program every day to put food on the table, as well as for the grocers, farmers, food manufacturers, and all of those individuals in the food supply chain who serve them. That former Biden administration official Stacy Dean of the House budget resolution's potential cut to SNAP. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, March 26th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Nally.